shall be continuing our study of the life of Peter, and we'll read at this point in our service from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, reading from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Amen. And we pray that God will bless this reading and the preaching from his own holy word. Now, part of the reason that we come here each Lord's Day is that we may please God. And we please God by honouring him. And when we have entrusted and committed something to God, then let us honour him by leaving it in his hands. And let us proceed to our duty. And our duty now is to give ourselves and our full concentration and attention to the word that God has for us this morning, for our lives. So let us now focus our minds on the text that is before us this morning. We may say, "Lord, speak now, your servants are listening." And I want to take as our text words from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Last Lord's Day, we were thinking of that moment when Jesus looked into Peter's eyes and said, "You are Simon, but you will be called Peter." And the next incident in which Peter is named is this one. One would hardly guess that approximately 1 year has passed since Jesus said, "You will be called Peter." The Gospels don't tell us that a year has passed, but when we compare the different Gospels, we see that that is plain. Since Jesus said, "You will be called Peter. He has called his 12 disciples. He has changed the water into wine at Cana in Galilee. He has visited Jerusalem for the Passover. He has driven the money changers out of the temple. He has spoken with Nicodemus about the new birth. And recently, he has talked with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. So a great deal has happened since last Sabbath. Peter and his friends have learned very much about Christ. And this next moment is a very decisive one in the lives of Peter and his three friends. From now on, their lives will never be the same. For this is the moment when they begin what we might call full-time service for Christ. Up to this point, they have been part-time disciples. Some of the time they've been traveling with Jesus, some of the time they've been back home fishing. But that is now about to change. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." We note in the first place a call to a new responsibility. A call to a new responsibility. Fishers of men. This call comes in the ordinary course of their life. The scene is the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes in the Gospels it's called Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Tiberias. It's all the same body of water. And they were living in Capernaum at a very important fishing center. Along the shore of the Sea of Galilee were a whole line of little fishing villages. The village Bethsaida. The word Bethsaida means a house of fish. And the Jews at that time were fish eaters. They rarely ate meat. It was a luxury food. At the most, the average Jewish family would eat meat once a week. Their staple diet was fish. And most of that fish was produced not so much from the Mediterranean Sea, but from this inland lake, the Sea of Galilee. Scholars estimate that at this time there were approximately 300 boats working the Sea of Galilee and landing their catch in these little villages each day. And we see here four men, two sets of brothers, engaged in their daily work. Simon and Andrew are up to their knees, are up to their waists in shallow water with the small casting nets. These would be a small net that you could hold in your hand with a weight on the outside rim. And that the fisherman would throw the net out like this here. And the weight would carry it down and he would catch three or four fish. So he would be standing in the shallow water, watching, holding his net. And he would see a shoal of fish. He would throw out his net and the net would go round and catch the fish. And that's what Peter and John were doing in the shallow water, taking a few fish at a time. James and John, their partners, were busy cleaning and folding the heavier drag nets that they used for night fishing in deeper water. During the day, the men would fish as they could near the shore, but when evening came, they would set out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee and let down the big drag nets and slowly row across the sea, pulling the big nets behind them. And each day those nets had to be washed and repaired, cleaned and folded. So it's a very, very ordinary day. A typical scene of labour, well divided. Two men catching a few fish, the other two men getting the equipment ready for the big expedition in the evening. And as they're busy in this task that they've done, no doubt, hundreds of times before, the Lord Jesus comes along the shore and he calls them to become fishers of men. And we note that what they were going to do in the future is linked with what they were doing in the past. Jesus says, come follow me. Matthew says they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. They had caught fish, now they had been called to catch men. Now I suppose we need to do something that ministers don't like doing. We have to restrict our imagination at this point. And some of the older commentators really go to town on this. And they have page after page of ingenious parallels between fishermen and fishers of men. Everything from the bait, to the float, to the line, to the hook, to the time of day, to the place where you fish. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. And there's a type of preaching a bit like that. And a lot of people love it. It is so ingenious. But I think we need to remember that most of the disciples weren't fishermen. And Matthew wasn't a fisherman. Some of the others weren't fishermen. And we shouldn't let our imagination run riot. It is a good metaphor for evangelism, but it's not the only one. And yet the Lord himself makes a link here. So there is some link. He says, you have been catching fish. Now you'll be catching men. There is some connection between what they were going to do and what they had been doing. And I think perhaps we could take at least this out of it, that Matthew is saying that usually, grace does not contradict nature. Usually, God the Redeemer works hand in hand with God the Creator. In other words, if God calls us to some particular service, usually we will have some natural talents or gifts or abilities for that service. It's not likely that God would call a man to be a preacher who simply can't open his mouth properly or speak clearly. It's not likely that God would call a person to be a student if they didn't have the intellectual ability to study. That's not an invariable rule. Sometimes God does call contrary to what seems to be the gift. Sometimes some very, very surprising people have been called to some particular service and they have developed gifts that nobody knew they had. And yet, that is not the norm. The norm is that God calls us to service for which we are fitted by nature. And we saw that in our series on the gifts. And it means that our true personality only comes out in the service of Christ. It is only in the service of Christ that our natural gifts are fully used. And yet this is a huge responsibility. I will make you fishers of men. You're going to catch men and women. Jesus is not making a pun here. He's digging deep into the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament prophets had a great deal to say about fishing for men. It was one of their key metaphors, their key pictures. We find it again and again. In the Old Testament, fishing for men was something dreadful, something horrible, something very, very frightening. It was usually God who was the fisherman. And the picture was of God catching men and women and dragging them in for judgment. If you were caught on God's hooks, you were pulled in for judgment. Listen to Jeremiah speaking on God's behalf about rebellious Israel. Jeremiah 16:16. God says about his disobedient people, I will send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they will catch them. They will catch them. That's a word of judgment. God says, I'm going to send fishermen to catch these people and to pull them in for punishment. Or again, Ezekiel 29:4 speaks about heathen kings being reeled in on God's hooks. God says to these wicked kings, I will put hooks in your jaws. I will pull you out from among your streams. Again, the metaphor of fishing for judgment. Or the prophet Amos, speaking about the self-indulgent, fashion-conscious, godless women of Israel. Amos 4:2. God says, the time will come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. So that's a very strong Old Testament symbol, fishing for judgment. But here's a different kind of fishing. Here's a different kind of fishing. Here's Christ's fishing. Here's fishing not for judgment, but for salvation. Fishing not in holy anger, but fishing in love. These fishermen are to gather men and women not to be condemned, but to be saved. Here's Christ's gracious fishing. It's a marvelous description, pulling people out of the floods of judgment. I will make you fishers of men. From henceforth you will catch men. What an honor. Here is a new stage in the history of redemption. A call to a new responsibility. Secondly, there is the comfort of a promised enabling. The comfort of a promised enabling. I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. Peter and his friends may well have felt frightened. What a tremendous responsibility. To catch people. Who were they? Ordinary Galilean fishermen. Primary school education. Perhaps no great gifts. Who is adequate for these things, Paul said. How could they catch people instead of fish? Here was something they'd never done before. They didn't know how to do it. It demanded a great sacrifice from them. They had to leave their work. They had to leave their families. They had to give up everything they knew. The future was uncertain. And Peter and the others might very well have been intimidated and frightened and wanted to refuse and to run away and said, Lord, I don't want to fish men. I just want to be a part-time disciple. I just want to go on fishing and then I'll serve you now and then. Serve you at the weekend. Do my ordinary job. I don't want to just throw everything up and take this enormous step of faith for a work that I may not be suited for. I may not be able to do it. I may be a flop. I may be a failure. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one or two young men in this congregation who have had thoughts of that kind. I hope so. When the call comes to service, we do feel inadequate. And that's where these words are so tremendously reassuring. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. And those words of our Lord make all the difference. Because Christ takes the responsibility for this on his own shoulders. He doesn't say that they have to make themselves fishers of men. He doesn't say, you go out and learn how to be fishers of men. No, he says, I will make you fishers of men. I will equip you. I will train you. I will enable you. I will supervise you. I will bless you. I will use you. This is my part of the transaction. This is the comfort of a promised enabling. Yes, you're called to a huge responsibility. But don't be afraid, Jesus says. I will make you fishers of men. Peter can relax. He can trust. He can stop worrying. He can leave everything in Jesus' hands. And what Peter has to do is to keep focused on that promise. He will make me. He will make me. He will make me. That's his task. That's his purpose. That's his responsibility. And if Jesus says he will do something, will he do it? Of course he'll do it. He cannot fail. If he says, I will make you fishers of men, then he will make them fishers of men. And he did make them fishers of men. We know from the beginning that these disciples must succeed, because Christ himself, no less, has promised to enable them. The call to a new responsibility. The comfort of a promised enabling. And thirdly, there is the condition of effective service. The condition of effective service. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. But that doesn't mean that Peter and his friends have nothing to do. That doesn't mean they can just sit back and relax and wait for Jesus to make them fishers of men. No, on the contrary. There is a condition of effective service. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers. Follow me, and then, and only then, I will make you fishers of men. As I said at the beginning, they had been following him for approximately a year, on and off. We don't know what intervals there were. They'd been traveling with him, they'd been watching him, they'd been learning from him, they'd been talking to him for approximately a year. These were disciples. They were followers. They knew him well. He wasn't calling them to something completely new. What he was saying was, I want you to intensify the relationship you already have. I want you to intensify the relationship you already have. Christ calls no one to service unless they already have a relationship with him. It's easy for us to just read this gospel and think this is the moment at which they started following Jesus. That's wrong. They've been following him for a year. This is just a later stage in their discipleship. And he calls them not to once and for all action, but to a steady process, a way of life. Something that's not going to be completed in a few days or weeks. Something that's going to be lifelong. Spend your life following me. Keep on following me. Never stop following me. Trusting, obeying, learning. A life centered on fellowship with Jesus Christ. You see the thrust of this for Peter. He says to Peter, Peter, don't you worry about the fishing. You concentrate on the following. You concentrate on the following, and I look after the fishing. You follow me. That's your responsibility. And I will make you fishers of men. That's my responsibility. It was so easy for Peter to start concentrating on the fishing, studying the fish, and what techniques would he need, and how would he prepare himself to catch these fish, and to get involved in all the professional side of being a fisherman. And all the time forgetting that his call was to follow Jesus. And if he follows Jesus, there'd be plenty of opportunities. There'd be plenty of contacts and open doors. The Lord will give them to him. The way to failure is to concentrate on the fishing and to forget the following. And in later life, whenever Peter fails to follow, he gets in trouble. And whenever he follows, there's a wonderful blessing. Here's the condition of effective service. Follow me. Keep on following me. Well, we may ask ourselves in conclusion, how does this passage apply to us? Well, it's clear that it applies very directly to some. There are some among the people of God who do receive a special call to unusual Christian service. There are those who are called to the ministry of the Word of God. Or there may be men and women who are called to mission work. Or there may be men and women who are called to some full-time service in some sphere of the work of the kingdom. And for such people, there are many, many similarities with Peter's call. That call may come to you in the middle of your ordinary life. It will probably build on your natural talents. It will be to a huge responsibility. It may frighten you. It should frighten you. But you have a gracious promise. I will make you fishers of men. And what you're called to do is concentrate above all on your walk with the Lord. Follow him. Let that be the great motive of your life, the great goal of your life, to stay close to Jesus Christ. And if you do, you will have a fruitful ministry. He will see to it. He will look after all else. Don't get sidetracked. There are people who get so absorbed in how to fish for men, they forget how to follow Jesus. They catch no one. Here are the priorities of the Christian worker. You follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Most of us here today, however, are not called to this type of service. This is a call which comes to a few, to a minority. And yet this passage is appropriate for each and every one of you today. Because for all of us, aren't there times when the Lord calls you to some new responsibility? Some new duty. Some new area of service. Perhaps you'll be called to look after someone. A relative, a friend. To visit them. To help them. Perhaps you'll be called to face suffering or disappointment. Perhaps you'll be called to befriend someone. Perhaps you'll be called to do something in the church. Some of you men, I hope, will be called to become deacons. Perhaps you'll be called to undertake some responsibility in the church or in the community. Something new. Something new. Christ will come to you in the middle of your ordinary life. And he'll say, I have something for you to do. You may feel it's a big responsibility. You may be frightened. You may say, Lord, I can't cope with this. He says, I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll be with you. I'll enable you to do what I've called you to do. Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. You keep your eyes firmly on me. You keep on following me. And leave everything else in his hands. Whenever you're sure, you've got to be sure, of course, but whenever you're sure that God is calling you to something, and that is a call from him, then Jesus says, don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about your own inadequacies. He knows you're inadequate. You don't need to be adequate. None of us are adequate. Come, follow me, and I will make you. I will make you able to cope with this responsibility. Trust him. Follow him. And leave all else in his hands. For us all, whether it's to a major lifetime of service, whether it is to some particular sphere of service, our response should be the same as that of Peter and Andrew in verse 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. There's their faith and their obedience. At once they left their nets and followed him. They placed their lives at his disposal. They put him first. They sought to please him above everything else. The Lord comes to us, and he comes to us all, every one of us, he comes to us often with many different things, perhaps a burden to carry. He says, here's something I want you to do. What we have to do is what Peter did. To follow Jesus. It's the secret of truly effective and happy living. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray today, as we've been studying this passage, for ministers of the gospel, for those who are training for the ministry, for missionaries, for those who work full time in some aspect of the kingdom, who have left everything to give themselves with undivided attention to the cause of Christ in a very definite way. Lord, we pray for all such, that you will enable them to focus above all on following Jesus, staying close to him, hearing his voice, seeking to be like him, to please him, to do what he would have us do. And Lord, we pray that as your servants follow, you will truly bless them and enable them and use them in a very wonderful way, far beyond their own natural abilities. For any who may be fearful or hesitant, Lord, may your sovereign gracious promise take away their anxieties. I will make you. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all of us. None of us know what we may be asked to do or to face or to experience tomorrow or next week or next year. You have tasks for us all. You have service for us all to render. We will all have to face changes and disruption and new and unexpected responsibilities and demands upon our time and energy. And at times these will be draining and intimidating and frightening. But Lord God, help us not to hesitate. Help us to trust that whatever Christ asks us to do, he will enable us to do. That he never asks without enabling. So Lord, thank you that wherever we are in our lives, whatever we're asked to face, you will always be there, and your grace will always be sufficient. Help us, Lord, not to be foolish enough to try to guess the future, or to peer into that which is hidden from us, but help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and simply to follow you day by day and to leave tomorrow in your hands. In his name we pray. Amen.